WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Spiritual autobiographies aren't too popular these days. Instead, the bestseller lists are filled with celebrity confessions and stories of self-styled survivors. But commentator Maureen Corrigan says Nancy Mayer's new autobiography, Ordinary Time, is an updated kind of spiritual autobiography. It's about Mayer's life as an oxymoron, a Catholic feminist. It's also about Mayer's struggles to come to terms with death. Reading the book made Maureen think about a movie she just saw.
At the midpoint of Ross McElwee's new documentary, Time Indefinite, which is a wonderful follow-up to his earlier film, Sherman's March, there's an extended scene that's hard to watch. McElwee's brother, who's a doctor, has removed a huge ulcerated breast tumor from a woman who claims that she never noticed it. McElwee forces us to look at a photo of that tumor for a long time as he muses about how we're all sort of like that woman, willfully denying the presence of death. After the first second, I did what I suspect a lot of other people in the theater did too. I closed my eyes until the scene ended. Nancy Mayer's doesn't have the luxury of being able to close her eyes to mortality. She has multiple sclerosis. At age 49, she can't butter her bread or button her coat. Her husband, George, who's 51, has been diagnosed with malignant melanoma. Mayer's autobiography, Ordinary Time, may not be your standard vacation reading, but it's not your standard movie-of-the-week treatment of fatal illness either. Listening to Mayer's talk about her approaching death is like listening to an especially blunt, thoughtful, witty, and lusty woman talking to herself as she's packing up her house to move. Mayer's opens her book with George's recent confession that he had a love affair with another woman. Mayer's is stunned, but she doesn't lapse into self-pity. After all, she's slept with other men. She realizes what scares her most about George's affair is her own extinction. Mayer says, "Throughout his sweet, stolen moments with Sandra, George lived where I was not." It's an awful, brutal insight that also lets you know Ordinary Time isn't Mayer's way of nominating either her or George for sainthood. Surveying the cluttered furnishings of her life, Mayer's wants to understand her motivations for her two most important decisions, to become a Catholic and to become a feminist. Mayer says her feminism was an accident. She just stumbled upon the collected works of Virginia Woolf in an old cabin. I'd like her to take a little more responsibility for her own intellectual and political curiosity. Those pages of Woolf's A Room of One's Own didn't just turn by themselves. But I'm less critical of Mayer's mysterious account of her religious conversion, because I think she's right that we don't have an adequate language for discussing spirituality. If Mayer's can't find the right words for God, she certainly finds them for criticizing what her church has done in God's name. She denounces Catholicism's discomfort with the female body and supports birth control and abortion rights. These days, she and George belong to a back-to-basics Catholic group that feeds the hungry, clothes the naked, and ministers to the sick. Now one of the sick herself, Mayer's admits it's tougher to be on the receiving end of charity. What I admire about Nancy Mayer's is that even though she has faith, she doesn't have answers. Like secular film philosopher Ross McElwee, Mayer's looks steadily at death without blinking and doesn't pretend she's not scared.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University. She reviewed Ordinary Time by Nancy Mayer's. We'd like to correct a mistake in a book review last week. The author of A Walker in the City was incorrectly identified as Irving Howe. The book was written by Alfred Kazin.